So one of the most important things for us to do, not only during Christmas time, but every day of the year, is to recognize the gift. Amen. That Jesus is the gift. Now, I love to see in Scripture the pictures of people recognizing Jesus for who he was. The wise men is an example for that. All of Judea, I'm telling you, the people who were entrusted with the Word of God, the Old Testament, all the prophecies, and descriptions that Jesus was coming, the Messiah was coming. And even though they talked about it, the vast majority of the people that talked about the Messiah, knew the Scriptures and promises about the Messiah, did not recognize Jesus when he showed up. Most of them didn't recognize him in his life. And what's really unique is that the ones who knew the Scriptures the most saw him the least, recognized him the least. Isn't that interesting? And so this is why it's very exciting to me that the wise men, they recognized him before they arrived. And it actually goes back to the prophet Daniel. You remember Daniel in the Old Testament and how that the people of God were captured and the very elite, they chose a number of the elite Jewish young men, and they were chosen to be a part of the men of wisdom circle. And the Chaldeans chose wisdom and the smartest around the world, the largest land of the time, the largest kingdom of the time. The king surrounded himself with the wisest people of the lands he had conquered. And so Daniel and the Hebrew children got to be a part of that. Daniel was a part of this. And matter of fact, God honored him and he rose up in authority under this king. And it was a wise men's circle. Later on, these wise men were referred later on as the Magi. Okay? Now, Daniel shared the prophecies that the Messiah, the king, was coming. And so these wise men, hundreds of years later, all through the time, had studied the prophecies or the Scriptures that Daniel shared, and they knew the time of his coming. They recognized the season of his coming, even though the Jews who had the Word of God in clarity and had the Scriptures and the prophecies didn't recognize his coming, they did. And I'm sharing that with you because their headquarters was either in North Iraq or North, what we know today is North Iraq or North Iran. And so they left from their headquarters and had to travel. It's over 1,000 miles by camel caravan. And they traveled for over a year to come to the place to see Jesus, to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So they recognized him more than 1,000 miles away and traveled for over a year. You know, if you do that, you're going somewhere on purpose. And they traveled for over a year and to come in to see Jesus, and they esteemed him as the King of Kings. They did not celebrate a baby. They celebrated a king that was born. Is that good news? And a lot of times when people look at a baby, they're cute. They're not intimidated. When you see a man on the cross, you can be intimidated. They see a baby and they talk about it being cute. And babies are cute. The only thing intimidating about a baby is diapers. We don't need to say anything more, do we, beautiful blonde? Okay. But I'm here to say to you that, you know, they came and didn't just celebrate a young one, because as a matter of fact, by the time they got there, Jesus was not in the manger anymore. He was not a baby anymore. As a matter of fact, the word referred to him as a child is the word used as a toddler. And the Bible says that they were not in the cave anymore. They were not in the manger. They were in a house. And so when they arrived, Jesus was probably about a year and a half. Okay, and so he had his legs and his feet underneath him, and he was running around. Just like you see your little grandkids or your kids that are about a year and a half year old. They found their wheels, and they're on the run, and they're enjoying life. And you know, they showed up and they ministered to the King of Kings, not just a baby, to the King of Kings, gifts fit for a king. If they were going to honor any other king in the world, they would have carried the same type of gifts. And don't think just because you see it on TV, they arrive at the same time at the manger. No, that's not true. That's not Bible. According to the Bible, and the best we can figure, is about a year and a half, and they arrived at the house that they were living in. And they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are gifts for a king. Now, a lot of people assume in history, tradition has presumed that since there were three gifts, there were three wise men. No, no, no. Bible doesn't say that. Let's stick with Bible. As a matter of fact, this was such a big event with the Magi, the wise men, that they probably didn't just send three. It was probably a bunch of them that came. And it wasn't just three individual gifts. It was probably a lot of gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As a matter of fact, this was part of Father's way of providing for Joseph and Mary and Jesus, because soon after this, after the visit of the Magi, it was instructed by an angel for Joseph to take his little family and go into Egypt. And they lived in Egypt for a number of years. And so this supplied their livelihood for years. Do you see that? Okay, isn't that just like the Father? Okay, before Jesus even arrived, Father had provision for Joseph, Mary, and the family to move to Egypt and to stay there. And the reason they had to do that was because King Herod at that time, when the Magi came through, and which was customary for them to go to the king of the land and to honor the king, and they asked where the king of the Jews was going to be born. Well, he got alert, and he sent his experts, "You go look at the word and tell me where he's supposed to be born." They said, "Bethlehem." And so, the King Herod, being a trickster that he was and jealous, he told him, he said, "Okay, guys, you wise men, y'all go worship the king and find him and come back and tell me exactly where he is so I can go worship him too." Liar, liar, pants on fire. His goal and his plan was to murder Jesus. No competition. All right? He was going to take him out. And as a result, that's why the angel came and told Joseph and Mary to go to Egypt, because soon after the Magi left and Herod realized that they weren't coming back, because an angel had appeared to the wise men. And you know why? Because they sought the Lord. The Bible says they sought the Lord because the Bible says that they were answered. They were answered because they asked. And they were answered from the Lord in a divine way, in a dream, in a divine way, to not go back to Herod, but to go home a different way, and they did. And so as a result, Herod sent soldiers to go and kill all the baby boys in the Bethlehem area, even in the surrounding areas, all the baby boys that were 2 years of age or younger. And the reason he chose 2 years of age is because Jesus was about a year and a half. Because he asked the wise men, "When did you leave on your journey?" And so, they figured out that he's probably a year and a half, so let's kill all the baby boys 2 years of age or under. Do you see what's happening? Now, I want to tell you, this reads like an exciting story, but I want to tell you, it's real, and it's God, and you see God's protection and God's provision all the way through it. But I love this about the wise men, because they came and they worshiped a king. So I want to announce to you that he's more than a baby in a manger. Amen. We need to see him. When we think of Jesus, don't stop at the manger. Recognize him as he is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let me just rush to say that he's not Santa. I have no problem with Santa. Santa was a great pastor. Santa was a pastor. It was Saint Nick. He was Pastor Nick. And he was a great pastor. He loved his people, and he was a giver. Now, I think that's beautiful, because I'm a giver. I love this. And he loved his people. When he saw his people in need, he would not let the right hand know what the left hand was doing. He would go and work it out where he would hide or put money in their house, in their place where they could find it, so that he could be a blessing to them financially, secretly. Amen. And so that's how the Santa got started. It was Saint Nick. It was Pastor Nick. And so we need to honor Pastor Nick. That's okay to do, to honor Pastor Nick. But do not ascribe to Pastor Nick supernatural powers. That's not, he would get mad about that. Pastor Nick in heaven would announce to us, "Don't do that. That's not me. That's Jesus." Okay? The fact that he can see when you're weeping or sad, or the fact that he can see if you're good or bad. No, 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 no. That's not what he was about. Let's leave it what he was. A great testimony of a pastor that loved on people and was a giver. But the deal is that it's very, very important that we don't give him characteristics that are supernatural. I'm saying this to you, and we were careful about this with our kiddos, but I'm saying this to you because if you tell your kids all these supernatural characteristics and they find out in just a few years that it's all a lie, and then you're telling them about the supernatural characteristics of Jesus, and whoops, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't celebrate Santa. I'm just saying tell the truth. Celebrate the honor for what he was and what he was and what he represented. And that's all good. And another thing I would like to say is that, you know, good gifts, the Bible says good gifts come from the Lord. It doesn't say good gifts come from Santa. It says good gifts come from the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, whatever you do with you and Santa is between you and the Lord. Okay? All right. But I'm saying to you that it's important for us to be honest and be truthful. All right? Amen? Okay, I think God honors that. Now, look, not only did the wise men celebrate him, but the shepherds did too. And the Bible, Luke 2:8, says that there were shepherds out in the field close to where Jesus was born in the manger. Now, back in that day, they had a place, just like we have corrals and we have barns for animals today. Back in that day, they had a type of barn and a type of corral, but they used caves. There was a number of caves throughout the area, and they would use those little natural caves, some of them kind of small, and they would use them as a natural barn. Sometimes the caves were underneath the houses, because they would build their house over a cave. And that way it was like a basement, what we would call a basement, that the animals would live in. And the humans would live on the next floor, the ground level floor, and maybe even another one. The roof was a lot of time used. But you understand that's the way it was in that area at that time. And so most likely the manger was a little barn area that was out away from the buildings, one of those natural little caves that they used as a barn and a manger. I know that when we have a manger, it's usually Texas style. It's made out of wood and everything. But back then it was carved out of stone. Okay? And so if you picture this the way it really was, here they are in a cave. And Jesus, they've made, probably put some straw down and they've wrapped him in swaddling clothes and put him in this trough. It was a trough. A manger is a trough. Okay? Put him in the trough. And that was his baby bed. No crib for his bed. It was a trough that they laid him in. And so he was there with the animals and with Mary and Joseph. But the angels came to the shepherds in the fields in the area. Now, something very, very interesting, according to the rabbis. I can't prove this, but according to the rabbis, and I learn a lot from the rabbis, is that the sheep and the lambs that were in the pasture that the shepherds were watching were actually the lambs that were dedicated to the offering of the temple. Isn't that interesting? And so here's shepherds that are studying and taking care of the sheep and the lambs that are going to have their blood shed for the offering of sin. Angels come and share with them the good news. Now I want to tell you, they could have stopped there. Oh, Brother Tim, angels show up, bunch of angels showing up, the announcement and the celebration. Well, if they would do that to me from heaven, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. Because I'm here to tell you what Bible says. Bible gives a description of one going to hell and the one in hell crying out to God and saying, if you would send something supernatural, if you would send someone from the other world, if you would go and give them a special message, they would believe. And the Word of God says this, no, they would not. They have the Word of God, they have the prophets, they have the Word of God. If they're not going to believe the Word of God, they wouldn't respond to something supernatural. And so I'm here to tell you the shepherds had a choice. They could have gathered around and said, I'm not going to tell anybody if you don't tell anybody. This was different. It was weird. I really got goosebumps, but I don't know how we can explain this. Nobody's going to believe it. Let's just keep this to ourselves. Let's just continue to hang out right here with these sheep, and let's just forget all of it. You see, they could have done that. But what they did, and I love this because this was like the wise men, is that they determined in their heart that they were going to seek the Savior till they found him. And they did. And they sought the Savior, and they found Him, and they came and worshipped. Later on, when the wise men showed up, they worshipped. And so it was in the same way. Now, I want to tell you why I believe that some people recognized Jesus even as a baby, as the King of Kings, and many did not. I think the ones that recognized Jesus, even through the life of Jesus, that recognized Jesus as the true Messiah, were the ones who had their hearts already turned toward God. I didn't say the law, but I did say, I didn't say religion, but I said toward God. Because we see pictures and opportunities of people in the New Testament that were not Jewish at all. Matter of fact, they were Gentiles. They were not even considered to even have a chance at that time. But they responded to Jesus, and Jesus admired their faith, and they were Gentiles, considered unbelievers that believed in Father. They had a heart toward God, and they recognized Jesus. Somebody say amen. So, another example of that would be Simeon in the Bible, Luke 2:25. And Simeon was a man that stayed in the temple. He was a righteous and devout, Luke 2:25 says. And he was careful to follow after the Lord. And he was looking for the peace of Jerusalem. He was looking for the Messiah. All right? And the Holy Spirit was upon him. He had been whispered by the Holy Spirit to his heart that before you die, you will see the Messiah. And so he was constantly looking. See, he believed that whisper, that impression in his heart, and he continued to believe. And so he was continually in the temple looking for the Messiah. Now look, when Jesus, when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple on the eighth day, it was customary. As a matter of fact, there was a number of things that took place. They were to give an offering. And the offering that they gave was doves, which shows that they were poor. Okay, the poorer you were, the smaller the offering was. And the dove were like the cheapest offering you could give. And so they were very poor at this time before the wise men arrived. Okay, and so this is what happened. And so there was circumcision that took place. There was a number of things that took place. And so, as a matter of fact, the firstborn son was always dedicated to the Lord as the Lord's. And so they were here on this day. And so what I'm sharing with you is that there was a number of babies that come in the temple all the time. There was a number of little families that had their firstborn that come in. Every male child was brought in. The offerings were brought in. This was a continual process. But when Joseph and Mary walked in with baby Jesus, this man, Simeon, recognized that baby as the Messiah. I'm telling you, because he had responded in his heart to that whisper from the Lord. And so his heart was toward the Lord to see the Lord. And when Jesus showed up, he recognized him. Now, I'm saying this to you because there are people that go to church all their lives and don't recognize Jesus. I hate to say that, but it's really true. Now, there was another one, Anna. And Anna was a little prophetess. And she lived in the temple. She had only been married for 7 years. Her husband died. And ever since then, and you know, she was over 84 years of age. She lived in the temple night and day. And she ministered to the Lord. And she ministered to people. She was a little woman that had dedicated herself toward the Lord. She was in love with God. Even surrounded by the law and the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, she was a pure-hearted person that was seeking Father, seeking the Lord. And the same thing, a little bit later, as Jesus and Joseph and Mary are there in the temple on that day, she got a witness from the Lord that this was the Messiah. And she rejoiced and celebrated and recognized Him. And I'm sharing these examples with you because it's very, very important that we recognize the Lord every day. Recognize Jesus in this season. He's more than a Christmas tree. I have nothing against Christmas trees, because if you'd have seen the temple of Solomon, you would have known that there was great decoration of trees and colors, gold and silver. And I want to tell you, it was such a beautiful place. It was so decorated in beauty that you would think the best Christmas decorations here are minor compared to the way that Solomon's temple was decorated. And it was done to the honor and glory of God. So when you decorate your tree, we got one right out front that's decorated beautifully to the honor and glory of God. What I'm saying to you, don't do like some of the world and bow down to it and worship it. We see it as a celebration of life, of who the Lord is. Let that be what it is. And so it's very, very important to recognize the Lord and to receive the Lord. Receive Him initially. We're going to go see a man today that in a hospital who had a heart attack, massive heart attack, non-churched, as far as we understand, not a believer, lived his whole life. You know, we're going to go share Jesus with him today and understand some of the people we share with accept Christ as their Savior. Some of them reject Christ. That's on them and not on us. But we have the privilege of sharing Jesus. And if this man accepts Jesus or rejects Jesus, we're going to praise the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, he's got an opportunity to initially receive Christ. And if you've never initially received Christ as your Savior, that must be done. Let me announce to you that before you die, you need to truly and sincerely surrender yourself to Jesus Christ and allow Jesus to be the Savior of your life. He needs to be your Savior. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior before you die, because after you die, there's no chance. It's over. It's done. It's settled. But once you do receive Christ, we find out that in growing and walking with the Lord, it's very, very important that we practice receiving Him every day. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about honoring Him as Lord. Amen. And when we honor Him as Lord every day, it puts us in a position to practice receiving all that He has for us. And so lordship's very, very important here. There are many professors of Christ, but what heaven's interested in, are you a possessor of Christ? Because Jesus announced that there would be many. He said many. I don't like that, but that's what He said. He said there would be many that call me Lord that truly and personally do not know me. So there's many professors that are not possessors. And the church said, amen. So anyway, we practice receiving His salvation. We practice receiving, practicing faith for righteousness, because that's what He's won for us and gained for us. And the Bible tells us to eat the bread. He says in John 6, 51, I myself am this living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And also the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh and body. So He talks about two descriptions of His body being a gift. And we need to recognize the gift. We need to receive the gift. And I want to tell you, one of the ways that He describes about eating His body is to eat the Word of God. Amen. Meditate on, consume, digest the Word of God, eat the body of Christ. Life to you. He also says, I'm the living water. This was in John 7, 37. He said, anybody thirsty, come drink of me. And you drink of me, then this will be a drink that will last forever. But even when He says that, He announces in the next verse 38, that there is in our, after we drink the drink of salvation of Him, the living water, there is an innermost spring inside of us that just comes up like an artesian well and continues to flow continually like a spring in a river of living water that's in us continually. Now, I believe that because in the next verse, verse 39, it talks about the Holy Spirit being in us. So when you receive Christ, not only do you drink the living water of eternity, but there's a continual flowing artesian well of life in us that we can continue to drink of every day and every way. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so when you hear a Christian, or when you confess yourself that I'm at the end of myself, I'm empty, I'm done, I quit, I'm weak, I'm weary, it's not working for me, then I want to tell you, we're not practicing John 7. We're not receiving the living water that's springing up in us as an artesian well. But according to the Bible, it's there and it's bubbling. But we need to partake of it. We need to receive it. He's the living bread and He's the living water, and it's a living stream bubbling up in us. There's plenty for us to receive. And the last thing I want to cover is to respond to the gift. So, we recognize the gift of Jesus. We practice receiving the gift of Jesus. And we practice responding to the gift of Jesus by being the gift. This is what makes kingdom. This is His desire and His purpose, is for you to receive of Him. Let Him be Himself in you. And then you go be the gift of Jesus, the gift of life, the gift of joy, the gift of peace, the gift of loving kindness to other humans. Do you see that? I'm telling you, that brings honor and glory to God. It's not just for you. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. It's not just for you. It's for others. But I want to tell you, when you express, when you respond to Him by being the gift of love and joy and peace and loving kindness to other people, I want to tell you, not only does it minister overflow to you, but I'm telling you, the kingdom of God touches those people you love on and minister to, and the Holy Spirit's able to show them Jesus. Now, that's what Christmas is all about. That's what January's all about. That's what February's all about. Do you get the picture?